Most of us in the public. Thanks for joining the panel discussion today. My name is Abigail Hatcher, and I'll be speaking about a South African program that aimed to empower women using critical consciousness. Most of us in the public health field are quite aware that sub-Saharan Africa is home to the world's highest population living with HIV and AIDS. We're also aware that Southern Africa in particular is not only at high risk of HIV/AIDS, but also at high risk of intimate partner violence. Intimate partner violence is both a cause and a consequence of HIV. Not only are women who are abused at greater risk of contracting HIV, but as the correlate, HIV-positive women are also at greater risk of experiencing violence from their partners. In Southern Africa, gender-based violence and HIV infection can partly be explained by the broader risk environment. So this includes structural factors such as poverty, gender inequalities, mobility and migration from labor, as well as conflict and other forms of instability. In South Africa, this common risk environment moves together to form an HIV and intimate partner violence epidemic that's at drastic proportions. Because of these two problems, partners came together in an area just north of Johannesburg to form a program several years ago called the Intervention with Microfinance for AIDS and Gender Equity, or IMAGE for short. The idea behind IMAGE was women should be empowered to take on the broader risk environment. So both microfinance and health work together to place women in a position where they can negotiate for their own health, as well as influence the broader community in which their health decisions take place. The framework for IMAGE is rather complex. It not only targets individual health factors such as agency, but also targets household well-being, as well as social norms that might shape vulnerability to the epidemics of HIV/AIDS and intimate partner violence. A randomized controlled trial took various measurements around gender-based violence of the individuals participating in the intervention, as well as measures of sexual health and various other indicators amongst young persons living in the households of individuals and young persons living in the community. By training the individuals in the yellow circle in the center, some of the lessons around reducing intimate partner violence and HIV risk could be transmitted both to the household as well as to the greater community. What becomes important in the IMAGE model is those black arrows that are moving in between the different circles so that the individual can really influence both the household and the community level. The key to those arrows and the influencing of different spheres is Paulo Freire's notion of critical consciousness. This idea has been used in social work, empowerment, and adult education for many decades, but it's rather new to the field of HIV prevention. Critical consciousness literally means the critical perception of reality that causes a group to take action. Critical consciousness is somewhat of a complex term, but we were hoping to explore it a little bit deeper in a process evaluation that we conducted of IMAGE over the years 2001 to 2007. As you can see here, we collected quite a lot of qualitative as well as quantitative data to try to understand how IMAGE worked and evaluate some of the programmatic elements of the program. during the years 2005 to 2008. The research questions for this particular part of the process evaluation was, firstly, how can critical consciousness be implemented in a health program such as IMAGE? And secondly, we hope to understand how critical consciousness could potentially impact some of the community structures that shape intimate partner violence and HIV. So after a lot of analysis and unpacking of the data, we started to understand that several program elements really shaped critical consciousness within IMAGE. These can be grouped into three different themes. The first theme was several elements helped women analyze their condition and environment. So these we called analytical tools and included things such as linking the topics of the health talks to deeper issues, probing the participants so that they could explore the issues further, doing participatory activities such as role plays, and then grounding the conversation in the daily lives of participants. Next, several constructive methods were used. So these included assisting women to share their common problems and also to go beyond information giving. Lastly, there were a couple of important elements that created a mobilizing environment for the participants, which we'll talk about in a minute. But just to give an example of some of the key concepts that were used in IMAGE, probing with deeper questions and more in-depth conversations impacted participants to have a better understanding for why it was that HIV and intimate partner violence occurred in this setting. So one participant says, I have realized how easy it is for people to say, it's our culture that I should beat my wife. I thought it was natural that it happens that way. I thought men were strong and women were weak. After we did a session about culture and rules, I realized that men suppress women and we use culture to justify it. Another example is a participant talking about how topics pertained to the daily lives of the women. She says, I got very interested because these were the things that were happening in our homes. I thought, wow, we are going to talk about issues that trouble our homes. They do happen and they're everywhere and nobody talks about them. And one last example around sharing common problems. Another participant says, coming to CEF made me realize that it's not healthy to keep things bottled up inside me. We have to share our problems. We can only find solutions when we support one another. So community mobilization was especially an important part of critical consciousness within IMAGE, because community mobilization on its own was really intended to help get to these outer circles beyond the individual level, but more towards the household and community. There was a lot of success within community mobilization. There were marches that were held, there were meetings that were held with local government and civic agencies. Women came together to start new committees. Nevertheless, there were some challenges to community mobilization. As one woman explained, women do not have time to leave their businesses and concentrate on community activities because CEF does not want to know whether you have spent most of your time helping the community. It wants its money when the repayment time comes. As this quote demonstrates, there was sometimes a tension between participating in a microfinance program where you have to repay your loans on time and participating in a health program. But perhaps unsurprisingly, many women adapted to some of these tensions and identified individual level strategies for mobilizing their community. Many participants spoke about talking with their children around HIV and violence. One example is a woman said, "I'm now able to talk with people at home. I'm not saying it was easy, but it is the information you cannot sit with. It burns you to talk about it." Another woman described intervening with a neighbor couple who were in a fight. The woman said, "I immediately turned around and went back into the house and told him to stop abusing his wife. I would not have done it had it not been for the knowledge I got from Seth." There was a 55% reduction in gender-based violence. Among those same women, significant changes were also reported around voluntary counseling and testing, as well as protected sex. At the household level, there were significant changes in household communication around sex and HIV between the participant mothers and their younger children. However, at the broader community level, as well as within the household, there was no significant change in unprotected sex or HIV incidents among the youth who did not participate in the intervention. Nevertheless, the fact that there was a 55% reduction in violence in a randomized controlled trial suggests that not only must the individual woman have been impacted, but potentially her partner was also impacted by some of the messages and lessons from the program. These positive health outcomes really point back to critical consciousness and the idea that women themselves could both negotiate for their own health as well as shift some of the broader health outcomes within their community. So some lessons that really arose from this piece of work was that there are certain curricular tools that can help engage critical consciousness in a health program, and that that same critical consciousness could potentially help participants impact their own health as well as community level markers. Another lesson was that the idea of social change and community mobilization should perhaps include both collective and individual action, since for many participants in health programs, the individual action better fits within their own personal goals of impacting their own households. Lastly, a lesson was that immediate participants in an intervention such as this might have the most to gain, and that in future interventions, perhaps men and youth in the community should be included in the program in order to have the greatest impact. There's clearly much to be learned around the field of gender empowerment, and yet perhaps some of the lessons from the use of critical consciousness may provide tools for future interventions. I would like to offer my email address for anyone who's interested in asking more questions. I apologize, I wasn't able to join the panel discussion in person. I've been working on another gender-based violence intervention in rural Kenya and was not able to make APHA this year. Thanks very much.